Hey guys, welcome back to the Far Better Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Clark, and today we're closing out our study on Thyatira before we move on to the city of Sardis. It is March 20th, episode number 12 of season 7, episode number 140 of all on the Scattered Abroad Network. Hard to believe. Wow. Which means the end of this season on May 29th, it will be our 150th episode. Yikes. That's quite a lot more than I ever anticipated. Thank you. Hopefully this has benefited you as it does me. Hopefully it makes your walk with Christ something that can be navigated where you can study a little bit easier. You can have a moment to sit down and consider what God would have you to do. That's the whole point of this show, is to please Him in this life so that our eternity is far better. Today we're talking about the text takeaways from Thyatira. Number one, those from the past that are known for horrific acts should stay in the past. I don't see many people today going, "This is our son, his name is Adolf." I don't see many people today saying, "This is our son, his name is Bin Laden. This is our son, his name is Saddam. This is our son, his name is Judas. This is our son, his name is Lucifer." Even though that's not even about Satan, it's about a king that was fallen. You don't really see people naming their children after those types of names. And you don't really see somebody naming their daughter Jezebel, do you? When we found out we were having a baby girl a few years ago now, there was no hesitation of us, you know, struggling with whether we should name our daughter Jezebel. That never even came up. Jezebel should not have a place in any congregation. And the things that we know from the past that are horrific, they need to stay in the past. Yes, we talk about them, but we shouldn't bring them back, proverbially speaking. They shouldn't have a place today where they can show up. Jezebel died. She should stay dead. But here's the next part of this. Neither should any type of false doctrine or practice have a place in a congregation too. And we can fool ourselves, we can convince ourselves that whatever we're doing, it's all going to be okay because, you know, after all, I mean, what do, right? We got to do this because we've got to be accepting of all people. And if someone comes in and they deal with this sin, we should just tolerate it. That's the issue. It's never been a problem that someone struggles with sin. It has always been a problem how we handle it. There is not a single person that reaches what we call that age of accountability that will say of themselves they've never committed a sin. Not one. And what I know, without a shadow of a doubt, having sat in this specific seat 140 times talking to you, I know this much. God does not want me to tolerate sin. God does not want me to look at something and say, "Well, you might be all right. I think you're fine." It's not about me. What does God want? And what God wants is very explicit and clear. Sure, come as you are, but you better leave changed. You better leave with an understanding that this life is not forever. And you and I are going to die one day. And that's our second takeaway. Overcome. 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 The day will come when this happens, unless the Lord returns first. Logically, I've made peace with it. Emotionally, I'm not ready. But when we talk about this life not being forever, I have to be reminded of the fact that one day I won't be able to call my father anymore and ask for advice. I won't be able to call my grandfather and get his advice. They'll be gone. I don't know much about living life on my own because I've been so blessed to have a great father who has always been there when I needed him to answer the phone. But I watch people left and right that I love dear passing away. Just this past weekend, I learned, past weekend is when I'm recording this, it's around the first of the year, I learned of a really great man who attended the congregation I used to preach at in Somerville who had passed away. He was such an encourager, such an incredible, godly man, a man that was constantly concerned with what the Lord thought about him. And every time he would stand up to do announcements, he would say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." When we realize that life won't last and good people like that will go, one day it'll be our turn. Come now. You who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. You don't know what'll happen tomorrow. What's your life? It's a vapor. Appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. I won't live forever. One day, this show will be over. Whether it's because we, retire the show and we move on to something else is immaterial, because one day, me sitting down in front of a microphone to try to preach the gospel and to try to do what I can to promote godly living and to do everything in my power to promote the saving message of Jesus will no longer be my right and ability. I can come in right now anytime I want. I can record a podcast. I can put it out there, and I can enjoy doing that. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'll die one day. You will too. So we need to overcome, overcome, and overcome. We can't let this life win. And the way that we make sure that this life doesn't win is through a couple of key steps. Number one, become a Christian. We're told in Romans 6, 3 and 4, "Do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we're buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall also walk in newness of life." We should be doing these things, Paul says. So we also should walk in newness of life. I can make sure this life doesn't win by becoming a Christian. I can make sure this life doesn't win by transforming my life into something that is what God would have it to be. Romans 12, 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Why do I do all of this? "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thyatira, what is wrong with you? Thyatira, why are you letting this happen? Why are you letting what you see occur right before your very eyes with this Jezebel even have a moment of a place in your congregation? It is so disheartening to consider that there are other places today that could be like Thyatira. Allowing someone to be a part of your congregation that doesn't need to be there. Allowing someone to ensnare and trip that needs to be put in their place. Elders, preachers, deacons, and members alike, we need to stand and rally in this fight against the devil. Thank you so much for being with me this week on the Scatter the Broad Network, a work of the Memphis School of Preaching. Next week, we'll be talking about the city of Sardis. And we have a lot to say and not a lot of time to get there. So until then, let's remember to please God now so our eternity can be far better.